ladies and gentlemen, watch this beautiful thing now. This is going to be a beautiful thing. So you take, when you take the accounts of our Lord's life, things he said that seem weird or mysterious, when you judge those in light of the 77s and that Daniel split those into 69 and 1, the 69 after which Messiah would be cut off, some of the difficult things the Lord said that people have not been able to figure out start to make sense. Start to make sense. For instance, Matthew 24:34. This has caused much distress to people, but once you understand, first of all, here's another great example of translation. It makes a huge difference. Once you understand the translation problem, correct that and understand that God stops the clock. When Israel's in apostasy, you'll see the truth, light will dawn, you'll be able to stand at the street corner, understand where you are on God's Aeonian timetable, understand what is happening, why it's on the brink of happening, and I'm telling you, life just gets a little better. Jesus did not say, this is what Jesus did not say in Matthew 24:34. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. He didn't say that. Because many people take that and they say, well, the generation Jesus lived would not pass away until all these prophecies of the coming kingdom took place. So that forces people, well, Jesus said it, it must be true, forces people to put the kingdom into a time where obviously it didn't come. What happened? It's a translation issue. This is a contingency. It's an if-then contingency. Concordant reads this way. This generation should not, it's should instead of shall, should not pass till all these things should be fulfilled. Should not pass. In other words, apart from the secrets, Paul said, "A secret I'm telling you," in Romans 11:25. The secret is that callousness in part on Israel has come. And in Matthew 13, Jesus starts spooling out the secrets of the kingdom, that he's going to be rejected. If you notice, in the middle of Jesus' ministry, he starts to tell the disciples not to herald the kingdom, starts to tell them, starts to predict his death. Things take a turn. And the kingdom now seems to be in abeyance to an undisclosed time in the future. This is why Daniel split the 77s into 69 and 1, because Messiah would be cut off and this secret administration would have room. And in Hebrews, you have the amazing phrase, the eons have been adjusted to a declaration of God. Can't remember that verse. Go back to my Hebrew series. Eons have been adjusted, relatively speaking, to a declaration of God. And God stops the clock on Israel, as we have said. So a genius in severing those 70s. And then we have the book of Acts. I alluded to that yesterday. We have a double rejection of the kingdom. They not only rejected it under Christ, they rejected it under the ministry of the 12. And now God can reveal secrets hidden from the beginning, from the disruption of the world. And now a new body of people can be called out from among the nations, not from Israel. And they can be given a different expectation, that is a celestial allotment for the purpose of reconciling the heavens to God, a program and a plan of God that was not revealed to any prophet. That's why Paul calls it in Ephesians 3, the administration of the secret. And he also calls it the secret of the Christ. In Ephesians and Colossians, that is, that Christ is to be the head of a universal sovereignty, not just an earthly one. All this is made room for by the apostasy of Israel. The apostasy of Israel is the occasion for God to bring grace to the nations. In the meantime, the clock is stopped, but not to worry. Paul writes the book of Hebrews to help the Hebrews understand this time stoppage, understand why their kingdom hasn't come, and to not give up on the promised covenant, the promised covenants that God made to Abraham. It all makes beautiful sense. I love making sense for a living. That's what I do for a living. And I'm no genius. I learned this stuff. I studied it. And I looked it up for myself. I found that these things are true. Now let's go back to the three periods of sevens in Daniel chapter 9. And this is 925. and you shall know and be intelligent from the faring forth of the word to cause a return and to rebuild Jerusalem from then till Messiah the governor is 7 sevens and 62 sevens. So he splits even the 69 sevens into 7 and 62. It will return, that is the temple, will be rebuilt square and salient even in eras of constraint. So the 77s are divided into two sections, 69 and 1. The 1 leads up to Messiah's humiliation. I should say the 69 sevens lead up to his humiliation. The final 7 leads up to his glory. And each of these time periods has a preliminary period. Okay, why 7 sevens and 62 sevens? The first 7 years of the 70 heptads, the 70 sevens, is occupied with the rebuilding of the temple that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, by Nehemiah. Nehemiah rebuilds it via the edict from Artaxerxes. This takes 7 years. From the time of the finish of that temple, it would be 62 more sevens of years before the coming of Messiah. And sure enough, from the edict to rebuild the temple to Christ riding into Jerusalem on the donkey, that is a period of 483 years. You take the first 7, I said it was a period of 7 years, it's a period of 7 sevens. Let me correct myself. It was 49 years that the temple was rebuilt, because it was 7 sevens and 62 sevens. 7 sevens is 49 years. So they were 49 years rebuilding the temple. And then there were 434 years remaining then, which is 62 times 7, up to the time of Christ coming in humiliation. Now, interesting, the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy is also cut in half. Well, the first 69 is not in half exactly. You have a period of 7 sevens and 62 sevens. The final 7 is split into 2 periods. 3.5 years and 3.5 years. Interesting that the first 3.5 year period of the last heptad corresponds to the 7 sevens, during which time the temple was rebuilt under Nehemiah. In both instances, we have a temple being dealt with, temple rebuilt and temple ritual restored to Israel by the man of lawlessness. I think that's fascinating. By this means, some in Israel who had hearts to hear, to see, would know when Messiah was going to come, because they're given the time periods. And if you're smart, then you're going to know it. A couple people come to mind. Anna, the prophetess, and Simeon, who knew that the time was near. There was no excuse for the Israelites not to know this. They had the prophecy. Well, except they got hard in their hearts. Other than that, listen to this. This is so great. Let me get my bunker light out so I can see this clearly. Our Lord told his disciples in so many words that Daniel's 69 sevens had come to pass, the 62 plus the 7. He says this, "Fulfilled is the era, and near is the kingdom of God." That's Mark 1:15. This is huge. Listen to this. Fulfilled, look how precise this is. We're dealing with numbers, and we're dealing with precision from the Lord. "Fulfilled is the era, and near is the kingdom." The era leading to his presence was fulfilled. The era was fulfilled. So the era meaning the 69 sevens, the time from the edict to rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of Messiah, the governor, that was fulfilled. Fulfilled is the era, but near is the kingdom. The kingdom's not fulfilled. It's near. It's near. But it depends on Israel repenting. But they don't do it, do they? No, they don't. So Jesus Christ, our Lord, he came at the end of the 69, just like Daniel said he did, and he heralded the nearness of the end of the 77s, that is the last 7. It was near, and the kingdom would have come, but again, it was contingent upon Israel accepting her Messiah. And as we see, that didn't happen. And it was designed not to happen. If it had happened, folks, where would you and I be? We wouldn't be here. If Israel had accepted her Messiah, then the last 7 years of tribulation would have begun. There would have been chaos and disruption, and the earth would have been cleared of the imposters, and the kingdom would have come. But it didn't come because God had a secret that no prophet saw. Daniel didn't see it. Gabriel didn't tell Daniel. I don't even know if Gabriel knew about it. So anyway, there's going to be an imposition of a covenant upon the Jews, going to be made by the man of lawlessness, and it's going to be ratified by a majority of Israel, and they're going to be restored into the temple service for 3.5 years, exactly 1,260 days. And then the man of lawlessness is going to revoke that, and he's going to declare war on them. That happens in the exact middle, and from that point forward, you will be able to count down the days to the coming of Messiah. It will be 1,260 days from the time that the man of lawlessness goes into the temple, declares that he is God, and tells the Jews, you can't come here anymore, and declares war against them. That is going to happen. That's not, I wonder if that's going to happen. It is going to happen. All right, tomorrow, the grand conclusion of Daniel's 77 is going to whet your appetite a little bit. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about a possible way to interpret the year that the millennium begins. I'm not saturated in this yet. I have to study this out and become assured of it in my own mind. But I believe we will be able to know the year that the millennium begins. I'm not going to set a date. I don't know the year when the body of Christ is snatched away, because there are no prophecies pegged to that. But I think we can know when the kingdom starts. Tomorrow, the grand conclusion of 77.